Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council work session of October 27, 2008. We have two issues to talk about, downtown issues. One's off-street parking, and the second is open space. So we'll get started right away on that. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Ed Evans is going to come up here in just a moment. He's, in fact, coming up right now. And he's going to talk to us about downtown parking for off-street. We had a pretty big debate about this several months ago on whether it's needed or not. Some towns have it, some towns do not have it. The debate that you all were having at that time was if somebody was going to build a complex of any size and they had to go out and get a mortgage, wouldn't the banks require some kind of off-street parking? The difficulties we have is the same thing when we started talking about setbacks. We have some areas of the DB that are single-family homes that have very narrow lots. Very difficult to get a driveway in some of those areas, and on-street parking's okay because it's not in the immediate downtown area. Then you have other areas that are what I'd call in the immediate downtown area, and the best example is going to be like Park Avenue, Lawrence, Richland, where parking's more of a premium. So it's going to be, again, one of those things if you want to try to come up with rules and regulation to apply it to the entire DB area is going to be somewhat difficult. The other issue, again, came up. There was some discussion on should we create courtyards, open space areas, and have that through some regulation or some incentive. We've checked with lots of different towns. Really couldn't find anything unless you say, if you have open space, we will grant you some other incentives, like a taller building, more density, some other things in exchange. But I know, again, at that same meeting, there was the discussion, well, in Columbia, they allow such and such to happen. Well, we checked with Columbia, and there is no regulation like that. So those are the two issues before you. Ed's here to answer any of your questions concerning what he found out from these other cities. We did attach cities that do have off-street parking requirements, and again, we checked with dozens of cities, and these were the few that we were able to find that had some requirement. Most of them do not.
Okay. Ed, have you got any comments you'd like to make about
not
the survey?
In particular, no. not really what's beyond in the memo. Just to mention, I look back to see some cities that do not have a parking requirement, and I five that I noticed were Wilmington, North Carolina, Kinston, North Carolina, Kannapolis, North Carolina, Carrollton, Georgia, and Marietta, Georgia. And that's just five that kind of jumped up quickly.
That do not.
So, do not. So some do, some don't. There doesn't seem to be any real pattern to it.
You know, it seems to me when we were talking about this, oh golly, a year or so ago, we said that it's advantageous, really, for the developers to have parking, off-street parking, to help sell their residences or their condos or whatever they're building. Is that what we heard? Is that what we were kind of thinking at the time?
It was the argument, I think.
Yeah. And do we really think we need to have an ordinance that specifies they must have it? I guess it depends on how much of a problem we see about parking in general downtown. You know, could there be a multi-apartment building or something coming down and with 20 or more apartments and everybody's got two or three cars or something, two cars, and they all have to park on the street? Now, that could be a concern, but is that really what would happen from a developer standpoint? Would they, I guess we don't know really every time what would happen, but if it is true that the parking spaces in the building or under the building or in the garage are of value to selling the property, then if we could feel that most of the time that's the case, we probably wouldn't have a problem with it. Having it otherwise, just let you know, let the norm take precedent, with the fact that they would have parking off the street, in other words, in order to sell their property.
You know, Mr. Mayor, I totally think that that this is going to drive itself. I know in the previous discussions that we've had regarding this matter, you know, it was even brought up of the picture of the building there at the corner of Chesterfield and Park, you know, where that office complex could be built, you know, and they have a picture of possibly what could be built there. And I took a closer look at that, and even that has parking underneath on that picture. You know, so it's not like they would build a three-story building there with no parking. Even an apartment complex, if you stop and look at any of them, I mean, they're going to provide parking for their tenants, or either they're not going to have any tenants. If you built a unit that could house 10 or 12 apartments, and say you had 10 or 12 cars, and they just had to find a place to park on the street, no one's going to rent that place. You're not going to pull up and park two blocks away from your house and walk there with groceries or anything else. You know, this is just common sense to me, and I think that's why we've not experienced this problem in the past. You know, to put on another law on the book saying you've got to do this when I don't think that we've ever had a problem with it. I have a difficult time with that.
Yeah. That's where I am too. With it. If you look at the places that have been built in the last several years, you know, like the condos downtown on Lawrence, the Rybergs place, place across from Rybergs. There's another one I was thinking of. I forgot what it was. They all have parking.
Yes.
But it seems to me that it came up because of a plan. I don't know whether it ever went through on Park, where there was going to be an apartment building where parking had not been planned.
Well, in fact, I guess there will be, right where the old antique place is, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Ed, I don't know. Have you seen the plans on that?
Yes, they're going to provide some parking behind the building, and I can't recall how many spaces. It's 5 or 6, but maybe more. But there will be parking behind that building.
And how many units in the building?
Six units.
So it was one per unit. I think that was the discussion at the time.
So you think it's one per unit, Ed?
I can't remember the exact number, but it's roughly 6. Maybe Jane Page knows, but that'd be one per unit.
And if it's purely reserved, limited access parking, then I guess the purchaser of the unit is going to know what they're getting into.
And I guess that's a case of what the mayor was talking about, letting the market forces, and what Councilman Wells is saying, letting the market forces deal with it.
I think basically we were kind of going that way to begin with. Mm-hmm.
Well, all the plans have to be approved, right?
By the design review board.
But the design review board can't require them to put parking. They're looking at the design only. They're not looking at parking requirements.
Right.
So in other words, let's say this unit on Park Avenue did not have any parking, they can't, by looking at it, say, well, we're going to require you to have 6 spaces minimum.
No, but they can't approve parking if it's part of the plan, a new parking.
If they show parking on the plan, they can look at it, see if landscaping should be there, other elements, but again, they can't require that a place has parking.
Yeah, that's right. We dealt with that at St. Mary's. It's going to be a parking nightmare, but nobody could deal with it.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But then is it possible to actually not make it a hard thing, but as we just recently did, to put it into the design and review standard if the particular circumstances require it that they can?
I mean, my non-legal opinion is that no, you could not. I mean, the design review board is there to address design issues, to go in the direction you're talking about, the board would be getting into use requirements that you have to provide parking as opposed to the design of the parking. So I think it'd be going beyond what the board should be doing.
Well, what would be wrong if we said at least one unit, one parking spot per unit? That's not overly restrictive at all. I mean, that's expecting something, and then if they have a second car and they can park it out on the street. But if one parking spot per unit, certainly not very restrictive, but yet it assures you get at least one car off the road.
Again, that's up to council. If you want us to do that, we would have to have a zoning change in the ordinance and create that one space per unit in the downtown area. The issue that we'd have to, you know, once you require that, that means that any other housing unit within the DB area, and the DB area is not just Lawrence and Richland and Park, these other areas, is going to have at least one space.
Can't that actually be written in effect for multifamily dwellings?
It could.
Would it have to be? Would this apply automatically to all residential facilities?
Multifamily. No, then I think a single family within the DB wouldn't be affected by it necessarily. Because you do have that problem of lots so small that they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep thinking, you know, we ought to protect that parking on the street a little bit. Get some of it off the street, but not overly restricted. I'm on both sides of this issue, I guess.
Must be a politician.
But not really knowing for sure if something couldn't come up and bite us a little bit. It doesn't seem to me that it'd be very restrictive at all to say one parking spot per unit.
Yeah, but see, I think at single-family dwellings, that's going to really,
well,
if they don't have the room.
I thought we said single-family dwellings weren't involved.
Okay, if you're talking only
multifamily.
Then I think the idea of a minimum of that there should be one unit per apartment makes sense to me. Okay.
Not apartment. I mean, it could be home ownership complex.
Oh, you mean it's like a town?
Well, like you have at the old theater on Lauren Street, mm-hmm. those eight units that are there, they have to have at least eight parking spaces.
And they have
they're all single-family units, but they're in a multi-family complex.
Well, I'm sorry.
Not apartments.
They're townhomes.
We could craft the language to go ahead.
It would apply to them as well.
Right. We could craft that language if that's what the council would like.
Yeah. How many of those types of units would not have the need for a car? How many would just be occupied by seniors who just move there because they want to be close to downtown and they don't need a car and it's fine with them? I mean, you can go both sides of this. Yeah.
I guess dealing with my mother, who's moving here this week, who's 88, that's the last thing they want to give up is that car.
You mean she's going to be driving on our streets?
Yes. She's going to have a red flag on her car. But I'm just saying that. Yeah. I would think that most of them are going to, the vast majority will have cars.
You want to put it on the agenda for further discussion at a later date? Unless you guys, what do you think? We don't know what the ladies think, of course.
I'm never against discussing an issue. You know, certainly we have 3/7 of the council not here to make an input, so yeah. I would have no objection to at least discussing.
We need to have this go before the Planning Commission anyways. There's going to be a zoning ordinance change, and so if you'd like them to look at that issue as to providing one unit per multifamily, providing one parking space for every multifamily unit, we could do so and have go to the Planning Commission
first,
and then they could come back with a recommendation to you.
Now, would that be in the immediate business district, or would that reach?
That would be throughout the downtown area. Again, if you have a single-family house, that would not apply to it. And the reason we bring this up is there are several 50-foot wide lots in the DB area which currently have parking and would not in the future. Or sometimes they'll just kind of jump the curb and park in the right-of-way. So again, it would be only multifamily structures.
It'd be in the DB zone, downtown business zone, which is from Greenville to Union, Barnwell to the railroad, basically.
Yeah. I'd like to see go to planning and see what they think, the advice.
Do you want to provide any incentives for open space?
No.
Downtown?
No. I don't think so.
Cleared the air on that one.
Yeah.
That's simple. Huh?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Again, we couldn't find anything, so it's not like there's a lot of people out there that are doing something.
We could think of raising the buildings, of course, but then we would have to get an entirely new fire equipment because we can't go above 50 feet.
Well, this officially ends our work session for this evening, but we'll start our regular meeting at 7 o'clock.
So we got 5 minutes.
Gentlemen, welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting of October 27, 2008. We appreciate everyone being here. We thank you for being here. And if you would, as we begin our meeting, stand for our prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to you tonight, we come to you with thanksgiving in our heart, Father, for the freedom that we find in you, Lord, for the fellowship that you allow us to have with you, and Father, for the fullness that we experience through you. Father, even though we're so undeserving of the smallest blessing, you have poured your love, your mercy, and grace out upon us. You've placed us, blessed us by allowing us to live in this great city. Father, as we look over tonight, make decisions that's going to affect the future of this great city as well as the future of our citizens, Father, we just ask you to illuminate our minds. Give us guidance. Lord, may we discuss these issues and do what's right for our city, for our citizens. But most of all, Father, what's right in your eyes. Father, again, we thank you for the many citizens that you've given to us, their caring for this city, their love for this city, their support that they give to us, Lord, from all the different boards, the commissions, the committees, and Lord, even the citizens who are not part of that are interested and care for our great city. Be with them in a special way tonight. Be with us as we continue this meeting. Father, we again thank you, and we ask these things in him whose name is above all names. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd like to just probably spend no more than a minute or two and just update council on the Pawnee Nielsen extension. We got the bids in. Let you know how we're going to pay for that and a little bit of honest progress.
Okay. All right. We'll add that to the end of our agenda then. Pawnee. Okay, do we have a motion in the second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add, out in the audience, we have Mrs. Lloyd and several neighbors that would like to share some information with us regarding the neighborhood. So if we could add them to the agenda, that would be great.
Okay, we'll add that too. And if there's some concern about a hurry to get home, we'll try to move it up. If not,
hopefully a meeting's not going to be very long. So we'll see as we go, okay? Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Any more? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. The minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of October 13th, 2008. Any discussion? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
Let me add, Mr. Mayor, that Mrs.
Sure.
Clyburn is on her way here. She had something else going on, but she's on her way here.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Jane will not be with us this evening. So, okay, under presentations, we have one, and we're always happy when we have presentations because we get to honor somebody for something. And so this evening we have recognition of some former board and commission members. And if you're not, if you didn't know it, we have about 13 or so advisory board type boards that help us do our job. And so we have, I think, just three that are with us, or that were going to be with us, but we have many more. I'm going to come down to that other mic. And I'd like for those that are here to come up, please, and spend a couple of seconds here shaking hands with you. I'll call them out first. Richard Elwell, is Richard here?
Yeah.
And Joanna, yes. My longtime friend, favorite, Joanna, thank you so much for all your service to the city from June 03 to October 08. Thank you very much. James McNair, Junior. Jim, thank you all for your time for the city today. And like the golf course was beautiful.
Thank you.
I see you riding down there all the time doing work on it. Jim was on the accommodation tax from February 86, 2008. That's a long time. Thank you for that long service.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. And Richard Elwell, is Richard with us? Okay. And I'm going to read the other names because it's important. It's important that we recognize and that they know that we cared enough for them and we appreciate their service to our city. Even though they're not here, they will get their award, their certificate. And again, we could not do the jobs that we do as well as is done without our advisory committees. And they all volunteer, and so we do appreciate it. Doug Raybolt, the Arts Commission. Doug served from 05 to 06. Karen Gordon, Arts Commission. She served from March 05 to November 07. Wendy Bryce, Accommodation Tax Committee, served from March 07 to June 08. Harvey Ramsura served on the Accommodation Tax Committee from June 02 to October 06. Julie Adams, Arts Committee, served from January 07 to October 07. Some of these are short terms because of some reason the person left and they were on the board just for a short while. Gwen Swally, Arts Commission, from March 05 to February 06. Kay Taylor, Arts Commission, from March 05 to January 07. Lisa Pelfrey, Recreation Commission, from June 03 to September 07. And last but not least, Dave Snyder, Recreation Commission, from May 03 to August 06. If any of you in the audience that you have a desire maybe at some point in your life to work on a city committee, just let us know. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor, I think we're going to be at a meeting Thursday with Doug Raybould, I believe.
Okay. That's right.
Okay, old business, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have five pending and two are before you tonight. One is Angela Key, that Councilwoman Price has recommended the appointment to the accommodation tax fee to replace Bernice Sanders. And Councilwoman Waters would like to appoint Alton Johnson to replace Michael McGee on the Community Development Committee.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved. Second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
And Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
While we're on boards and commissions, I reluctantly announced a resignation from the Arts Commission of Mary Ellen Krippner, who has indicated and served the city well, I should say, before I say anything else, mm-hmm. On the Arts Commission. And she has asked that she resign immediately, and we thank and express appreciation to her for the fine service. She thinks it wise to get somebody new on the board early so they can see the fountain issue all the way through from beginning
right.
to end.
Very good. Okay. Yes, yeah, she served well, certainly.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I have three reappointments that I'd like to submit
okay.
to council.
All right.
One is Larry Ogletree. Larry currently serves as chair of the Board of Zoning and Appeals. I'd like to recommend reappointment for him. Secondly, Brian Parks, who serves on the Parks Commission, reappointment of him. And Felice Cummings, who serves on the Design Review Board. Reappointment of her.
Okay. Does anyone else have any nominees?
Yes, I would announce the reappointment of Pete Sehar to the Planning Commission. His term expires December 1st.
All right. Okay.
And he's with us tonight to make sure we do this job right.
That's right. We don't want to leave him out.
He's the Planning Commission spy.
Okay, these will be on our agenda for approval next meeting.
Okay.
Very good, thank you. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 1012 Gregg Highway. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property consisting of 0.66 acres of land, more or less, owned by HPG LLC, and to zone the same general business GB. This property is next to the Burger King and across from Huddle House. Part of the property that they would like to combine with what they're coming into was a beauty salon at some point in time. Not knowing exactly what's going to go into that location, it is large enough that more than 2,000 trips per day could be generated. They are willing to limit it to no more than 2,000, and because Gregg Highway is at a level of service C, therefore, if they're under 2,000 trips per day, they would not have to be required to do a traffic study. The Planning Commission unanimously approved the annexation with the seven conditions that are listed. None of them that cause a problem as far as we could see. And so for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex a 0.66 acre lot at 1012 Gregg Highway to be zoned general business.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move that we approve this, Mr. Mayor.
Second,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 2 under new business, resolution for acceptance of deed of dedication for South Meadows subdivision. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. As we've been doing lately, we've been catching up on some of these deed of dedications, especially in light of the ordinance that was passed recently. This is for the South Meadows subdivision phase 3. There's three sections there, sections 1, 2A, and 2B. Public Works Department has reviewed the utilities. They find no problems with it, and we are asking tonight for city to accept the water and sewer lift stations and the accompanying equipment. This area is off of Whiskey Road outside the city, and therefore we are not going to be accepting the roads that are within that development.
Okay, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the deed of dedication for South Meadow Subdivision for the water and sanitary sewer, the lift station, and the equipment.
Okay, I'll second it. Okay. Dick, you second it. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, under petitions and requests, approval number one, approval of road name for the USC Aiken campus. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, we'd like to make sure that all the roads, all the areas have a name so that when we get a call from 911, they give us an address, it could be accompanied by a particular location. The roadway which now goes from the bypass Robertville Parkway to University, there are several residential areas. There are several dormitory slash apartments within USC Aiken. And so we have asked them to come up with a name. They asked that we would consider Perimeter Boulevard. The Planning Commission looked at that, reviewed it, unanimously approved it. And so for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the naming of a road through USC Aiken from University Parkway to the Robert Bell Parkway as Perimeter Boulevard.
Okay.
Wait.
Thank you. Do we?
That's the opposite. I think there's a typo in that. I thought they said it doesn't qualify as a boulevard and it's supposed to be a drive.
Oh. Let's see.
Agreed to change the request.
Requested name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not see that.
Oh, where is that?
I didn't first paragraph.
Under requested name.
You are correct.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for
very good. Okay. Do we have a motion and second on that?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Sir,
okay.
Good catch.
Okay, item two, approval of a sign request by the Aiken First Baptist Church for Operation Christmas Child.
Yes, this has been in existence for a number of years, 13 to be exact, and they've had signs up there in the past. Whoever's in charge of this year asked if that was okay, and we had never really thought about it, and really, without your permission, it's not okay. So they are coming before you asking that the signs that they've put up there in the past for several weeks to let the individuals know, first of all, about the Relay Center for Operation Christmas Child and about Operation Christmas Child and where to drop us off. One would be located on Chesterfield, one would be located on New York. You may have seen those signs in the past, and so that's, again, all they're doing is asking for your permission and also asking that this would be continued on from this point forward so they don't have to come back in the future to ask for that same permission again. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of two 24-by-18-inch signs, the Aiken First Baptist Church Operation Christmas Child.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
All right.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, we had two add-ons. Why don't we take Ms. Lloyd, the neighborhood, your request to speak.
Ms. Lloyd.
And then, Ms. Lloyd, and then we'll get to Pawnee that Roger wanted to update us on.
Right here, Ms. Lloyd. We're going to put you on the speaker.
Mr. Mayor and City Councilors, thank you, Ms. Price. I have two questions. I'm concerned because recently I understand that from Hampton Avenue, beginning of Pendleton Street, all the way down to Abbeville Avenue, on the east side is a business area. On the west side is residential area. I'm asking that will it go back? Will you please send it back to the residential area on the west side? Because on the east side, all those people that live over there are senior citizens, including myself. They have their tables out in their yard, and they sit on their porch. And it's a quiet neighborhood at this time. But I'm afraid if it go back into a business district and we do not know what is going to be placed there in that area, we may not be as safe as we are now. So I'm asking that side from Hampton Avenue all the way down to Abbeville will return to residential, please. Also, I would like to know how you find where you live is on the master plan for business or residential, when it's always been that and you have no way of knowing. Because I did not know that that side was on the master plan was business until someone told me they were putting a barbershop on the corner right across the street from me. And I was not aware that there was going to be a barbershop there until I understand that they've already got their license and everything. That seemed to be not quite fair to the neighborhood because it's a quiet neighborhood. We like to keep it that way. So that's why I'm here.
Who can best speak to that?
If council recalls, a study was done about 5 years ago,
yes,
on the old Aiken master plan, and we looked at all the areas within the northeast and west side of the downtown area, or what would be considered the old grid of Aiken. And if council recalls, and I shouldn't say recalls because I know Dick was not on council at the time, many of the areas within the original grid are zoned general business or multifamily. I'm not too sure if there's any that are single family. If there are, there's very few within that area. We came to council about a year later. We took what we thought might be the easiest area to go ahead and get rezoned to residential, like Ms. Lloyd has asked, and that was along Carlton Avenue from Williamsburg back to, I think it was York Street, and that consisted around 60 lots. No, actually, it was closer to about 80. We had some meetings in room 204 with all the residents, and it was split. About 60-70% wanted to stay. I wanted to revert back to residential, and the other 30% did not. And we talked about it several times, and council at that time didn't feel you wanted to force those that didn't want to change their zoning to residential. And again, where Miss Lloyd lives along Hampton and Abbeville and that entire area, but it's throughout the entire north side of Aiken. It's a mixture of multifamily, general business, and very, 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 very small amount of single family, even though the majority of the homes in there are single family homes. So it's again, council could go ahead and change any area you want. But if you wanted to, I mean, you could go ahead and say, we'll change the entire block or two blocks or three blocks to single family or even just residential. But that's going to be a choice that you would have to decide to make.
If we were to make that choice, you would be making the choice probably against some landowners that wanted to leave it as it is.
That is what we found along the Carlton Avenue area, that even though we thought that most of the vast majority of the people would want single family, a number of them said, no, we may someday want to convert and have an apartment behind the house or sell off part of our land. So we had a mixed opinion on that at that time.
It is my understanding, though, that that area was residential.
Residential, and I was one of the ones who have worked on that master plan, but I still didn't know how the street got on there. And part of it is on one side is on and one side isn't.
That's correct.
And the side that isn't is all of us over there on that street are senior citizen. But on the other side, if you put business over there, we may not be as safe as we are now. This is what I'm asking. And that's why I'm asking that you put it back to residential sector so we can feel that we are safe and quiet.
How long have you lived where you're living, Ms. Lloyd? How long have you lived where you're living?
How long have I been there where I'm living?
Yes. I know it's more than I know it's more than 50, 60 years.
Since 29.
Okay.
That's right. So that's why I'm asking that we put it back, because we're all over that area. All down the street there are senior citizens, because the church has built some senior citizen homes, and they are full.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to them, and they feel safe now. But if we don't know what's going to come in, just like I did not know that barbershop was going to come on the corner, no one said anything. We had no way of knowing. That's why I'm asking.
That's right across from your home.
Right across from my home. And all that's been residential section all the while.
But yet they could have that barber shop there without it being posted, correct?
Correct.
Because
by right.
Because of the zoning,
that's
they,
right.
they could
yeah.
go in there and they could do that. And
but how can we find out? That's my next question. Are you living in the business zoning area, and we have no way of knowing that? Because I didn't know.
Here is a map.
Yeah, that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we certainly have a map, and it's we have not changed that zoning. I believe it's been that way from the very beginning when the zoning was established here in Aiken during, what would that be, the 80s, Ed, or 70s?
Well, we've had zoning since 1947. I'm not sure how long that's been zoning,
okay.
but a long time.
Yeah. And in the 20-some years I've been with the city, I don't remember us rezoning any of that area.
So her block has been, the block across from her has been zoned business for a long time.
A long time. Several decades.
It's not something we changed.
The reason why I'm saying this, when you put that filling station across the street.
That's on the corner of Hampton.
But they wanted to have it face on Hampton Avenue. Because it was not zoned, they could not face it Hampton Avenue. That's what we was told. Because I was to the meeting, and they did this. That's where we live in wasn't zoned for business. Neither down Pendleton Street.
We could certainly try to find out when that happened, but whenever it happened, that's the way it is right now. And the only way we could change it would be if council decides to go ahead and change it.
I'm not so concerned about when it happened. I'm just concerned
right.
about changing it, please.
Right.
Back to residential section.
Well, Ms. Lord, I'm just trying to understand. I want to make sure I understand. Those people that own that property, whoever that is, and I have no idea who owns it, that you're talking about across the street, if we were to go in there, let's just brainstorm this thing a little bit. If we were to go in there and say, we're going to change your property, what are they going to say?
I'm not asking this about the barbershop. I'm just asking to change from down Pendleton Street. Barbershop, the house is facing Hampton Avenue. And what I was told when I went to talk to the lady that's in the zoning, she said it's facing Hampton Avenue. There's nothing you can do about that now, but perhaps from Pendleton Street down to Everglade Avenue, what I'm concerned about, because all the houses are facing Pendleton Street. And that's what I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about the barbershop.
Well, I'm not talking really about any particular piece of property. I'm talking about the idea of us changing their property and them not wanting us to change the property. It'd be like us coming to you, and maybe you owned a lot next door to you or something. We say, Ms. Lloyd, we're going to change this property because we want to change it to something just because we want to change it.
Well, those two homes that she's referencing, the one on the corner immediately opposite your home, my husband's uncle lived in that home before he passed. Those two homes were residential for years. And I guess someone else has acquired the property. It's had a lot of turnovers over the years. It's changed hands. And then the property on the corner of Lawrence.
But it should stay residential, though, right? Even though it's changing hands.
It should have, but something has happened that it has changed from residential to business, is what she's saying.
Well, that's what I want to find out, what has happened, because we're hearing that we haven't made any zoning changes because the people didn't want things changed. So you get in that case where you force somebody to change, and some cities do that. We've not taken that position that we're going to force somebody to change what they can do with their property. This is pretty tough. This is you start trampling on somebody's property rights if you do that.
Did that same thing that happened to us that we didn't know anything about it when it was changed?
We're saying it. When was it changed?
What I'm hearing, Mr. Mayor, is that unless you review the master plan, you don't know that where you may be living has been changed from residential to business. That's what I'm hearing.
We need to find out, number one, if it has been changed.
Well, I think what the master plan, she showed it to me, and it says on the master plan it was changed. That's what she said, it was changed on the master plan.
It was changed.
Yes. Not until you worked on the master plan. That's the understanding now. That's the way I understood it, that it was changed during the master setup, which was
I think what we're going to have to do is look into this and find out, get a little history here, because if it was changed, probably because the person that owned it wanted it changed. That's what I'm thinking.
All up and down that street, does no one know anything about it? They changed it like that? That's what I'm asking. All up and down, from Hampton Avenue down to Abbeville, it was changed without only just one person who owned the property knew about it?
Well, see, I don't know. We're
speculating.
Yeah. We're guessing here as to what may have happened. And let us look into it and find out the details of really what happened when.
Okay.
Or then we're in a better position to say whatever council wants to say about it.
Well, I'm just concerned about being senior citizen, because that whole block is nothing but senior citizen. Right now they have their little tables out there where they have their barbecues and their porch with swings on them and rocking chairs on them. I just would like to see that change for us.
Right.
I'd like to see that be a pretty safe neighborhood at this time.
And I totally understand what you're saying. I understand it.
I appreciate all the help that you would give us. And thank you, Ms. Price.
We'll look into it, Ms. But it was my impression, too, that, Ms. Mayor, we were looking at the corner of Lawrence and Hampton going east to Chesterfield Street, that block. There's a service station that was cleared, that lot was cleared. And those three houses, I thought, was going to be rezoned, that area, to business, not in the block where she's concerned about, across from a home, not in that block. So I'm not sure what has been changed here.
I mean, nothing's come before council to ask for a change. And I know at the southwest corner of Lawrence and Hampton, where the grocery store used to be at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's maybe one of the reasons why that area was zoned business at one point in time.
That's further up Hampton Avenue past the cemetery, what are you talking about?
No, where the grocery store was at the corner of Hampton and
yes.
Lawrence.
Well, you see, at that time it was facing 19 Lawrence Street, and that was business area, but Hampton Avenue was a business area at that time.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be normal process if we change zoning from residential to business that the people involved would be noticed, that they would at least be informed of the change to be able to come down to council and make their views known?
It should be posted.
That's what I was concerned of, because nobody on that street got any kind of notice, and nobody saw it in the paper.
We should be able to find out when or if that was zoned. And
okay.
We'll look this for it. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you, Ms. Loy. Okay. Roger, you want to talk about, update us on Pawnee?
As council knows, for a long time we've talked about putting in a new roadway that would have a back entrance to Walmart and allow traffic to avoid having to get on Whiskey and Pine Log and Silver Bluff and go from where the Kroger's, between the gas station and Kroger's, go down Pawnee, and that'll extend all the way to Nielsen. We worked on that because we couldn't get the easements. Well, we finally have everything. We went out for bids. Of course, 3 years later, the prices have gone up tremendously.
Shocked,
I know. The bids went anywhere from $3.7 million to just a little under $2 million. In addition, the compromise we had with the highway department when we added the extra turning lane on Doherty Road to Silver Bluff. Now there's two left turning lanes there. The compromise there was to go ahead and we would go ahead and put the drainage in. There was a drainage issue at the time. So this was all part of the same bid. The drainage to solve the problem at Doherty Silver Bluff was $225,746. So close to $250,000. We have about $75,000 worth of work in the big pond that's behind there. So we got about $300,000 that it's going to come out of our drainage funds. And then the additional money that's required for this work is going to go ahead and that'll be about $1.8 million. We had set aside in past years some leftover money we had. and some money from the 1 cent sales tax and from the second 1 cent sales tax. So it's all going to come out of the 1 cent sales tax or out of special holding fund money that council has authorized in the past. So we have enough money for it. We're moving ahead for it. And if all goes well, they'll be signing the contracts in November. The drainage work will be the first work that will be done. That generally takes 3 to 6 months, and then they'll start on the roadway itself. So we're a year, year and a half away before it'll be completed. But I just want to let you know that we've talked about it a long time, and we're finally moving forward on it.
Very good. That sounds good. Okay. That completes our agenda items. And I think we broke a record here tonight, at least for a long time anyway. So this, we do need to vote. We do have a contractual matter we need to talk about in executive session. So if council approves to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. Very good.
Glory be.
Yes.